Dramatica Users Group Story Embroidery Class. Recorded December 11th, 2007, led by Chris Huntley.
Tonight we're going to be doing a story embroidery class, which is essentially, we're going to make up a story in class. And the part that we're not going to really spend a whole lot of time on is the story form.
Okay.
Okay. In fact, what I'd like you to do, Sally, why don't you pick a number between 1 and 8?
Between?
Well, inclusive.
1 before 8. 8.
All right. And Mike, since you're here, way out of the country, you're the first one away, pick another number between, from 1 to 8 inclusive.
I'll have 3, please.
Okay. So, I had written on a piece of paper earlier, so the genre we're going to be doing, number 8, was family. So we're going to do a family film, or a family-oriented story. So keep it clean.
You mean that's the audience?
The audience, right.
Okay.
Target audience. And then 3 was the location, and number 3 was Shangri-La.
Where's Shangri-La? Oh.
Well, we can make up, that's the only thing I put in there. You can make it be whatever you want. There's no more specificity than that, so we've got a lot of storytelling latitude with that. That might be Shangri-La in Tibet or wherever, or it might be Shangri-La, Las Vegas, Nevada, or whatever.
Or the game.
Yeah.
Let's say.
Whatever. But this is going to be the location, and this is the audience. I mean the genre. That's really.
Yeah.
So, which is sort of
PG.
Speaks to
PG movie.
Sure. PG at the, yeah. Now, we don't have to be PG in discussing it, because I can always put explicit on the podcast, but definitely the type of subject matter is going to be family-oriented. All right. The other thing to do, Armando,
yeah.
Pick a number between 1 and 20.
Okay, 16.
16. All right, so what I'm going to do here is go into brainstorming. And I'm going to spin the model 16 times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Okay, we have a failure good story. Not too bad for a family story. All right, now let me...
Failure good?
Mm-hmm. So at least it's bittersweet, but it's bittersweet with the main character feeling good, not... So a Rain Man type ending, not a Silence of the Lambs type, type ending. And I'm going to... go into the reports and print out the story engine settings, and then we'll give us each a copy, and that's we're going to use to, I hope, yeah, this is hooked up to
you. You got that down to one story point already?
Yeah, I used the brainstorming tool to automate all the choices. That's
got it.
Figure let's get this going quickly so we can have fun playing the good stuff. Now, the only part that we haven't done, and I'm going to do this a little differently than we've done before, and that is I'm going to list up here the 8 archetypes. And so one of the things that these are going to also be open for description by anybody. So when your turn comes, feel free to choose one of these if you wish to use that as your storytelling choice.
Are you recording this, by the way?
Hmm?
Are you recording?
Yes. Okay, so what we've done so far is that we've arbitrarily, I've made a list of 8 genres, and we got a choice of number 8, and that was family. So we're going to do a family story, family-oriented story, genre-wise. Location's going to be in Shangri-La. Obviously, at some point, we'll want to set up the time period, and that we can have anybody can assign that once if they want to use that as their choice. And what we'll do is we round robin, filling in blanks, so to speak.
Okay.
Now, each of the items in the story form, each of the story points, you can consider as a blank. So, not only do we want to identify the 8 archetypal characters, the main character, the impact mm-hmm. character, the relationship, through line, the overall story, sort of subject matter wise, you might want to think of them in those ways. The time period, but also the juicy part, which is the story points in the story engine. And the idea here, you know, it's the holidays, have fun, you know, this doesn't have to be, fortunately, since it's family oriented, it doesn't mean it has to be light, but it could be light, it could be anything. Well, why don't we start with you, Mike?
Okay. Do I get to choose which one I want?
You get to choose any one of these or any one of those and fill in a blank.
Okay, I got one. It's strange because the overall story is fixed attitude, so it's kind of, usually have like situation or activity, don't you? I'm going to go with main versus impact character situation.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with twins who are joined together at birth. So they're both the main and the impact characters.
Okay.
And they're joined together at birth.
Okay.
So they're like they're a situation.
Conjoined twins.
Is that reasonable?
That sounds like a situation. It sounds like they're stuck.
For a subjective story?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Armando.
Okay. Let's try the overall story fixed attitude. Let's suppose nobody believes in something magical that one character believes, because for some reason,
and anything in particular, or you just want to leave it general right now?
Yeah, let's leave it general.
Okay. No one believes in magic.
Yeah. Except for one character.
Well,
except for one character.
Well, you've got to. This is got to. You're going to say that there's going to be conflict. So obviously,
no one believes in
somebody is going to have an alternative to that. So that. Everything's going to be in terms of conflict, so I'll put the except one person in there.
Oh.
That's fine. There's no reason not to. Alrighty. Sandy?
Okay. So our setting is Shangri-La.
And that could be anywhere. It's just Shangri-La. That's...
Okay. Well, the concern is impulsive responses.
The overall story.
Overall story concern is impulsive. Actually, hang on. Let's see. Decision. Failure. Okay. Magic. I'm going to contend. This isn't very, obviously, very fleshed out, but. If it's going to be a failure story, if the concern is going to be to
the concern or the goal?
Well, it would be the story goal, I presume.
Okay.
The story goal, origins and failure, would basically be to prove to the populace of Shangri-La that magic does happen.
Okay, and how is that illustrative of impulsive responses?
Okay, that's a good point.
let's not forget the story form.
Because you're twins, does that mean they're stuck together?
Yep, yeah. Siamese twins. Pardon the non-PC label.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Conjoined.
I have an idea.
Okay. I'll defer to her.
Okay. Sound.
Well, since we were talking about this earlier in a different topic, perhaps they are heirs to the throne and only one of them can rule.
Okay. So what are you saying that's an illustration of?
Well, let's see then.
That's great storytelling, but you gotta plug it in somewhere.
Security versus threat is the issue. One of them will have to.
Main relationship through line. Okay.
Yeah, so something's gonna have to happen to one of them in order for the other one to be the ruler. So there's that.
So their
issue between each other is security versus threat. Right?
Okay.
Since they're hooked. And so. We've got the cause-effect test trust.
One topic.
Okay.
So what?
Well,
so how is their being?
Well, they're conjoined and only one can rule. You can't have.
But how is that related to security?
Well, one of them is always worried, am I going to lose or win? And something's going to happen to me if the other one's going to rule. Maybe it's an issue of do they get separated or not, and one has to die or one lives, or, you know, I don't know.
Okay, no, those are all great, but you need to figure out...
I need to pick.
You need to pick, and if you're talking about the thematic issue, which is essentially going to be the thematic argument between the two of them,
uh-huh.
If it's a matter of security, how is that? And you could absolutely
security.
Work in your storytelling, because I can see that working. I'm just, you need to make
you're
some
pushing
choices.
Me. I get it. So security versus threat is, if I win, I threaten your security. If you win, you threaten my security. Win by meaning one of us is going to end up
dead.
Maybe dead, or maybe maimed, or maybe, you know, not a whole person. And the one we have, somehow we have to decide which one of us is going to be whole when we get finished unconjoining.
Okay, but that sounds like that's something else.
Oh.
As opposed to security. So you're building a story to support security as opposed to just making something that defines security, and then other things will be built to support that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I don't. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I didn't understand.
You were talking about the whole thing about them being separated. Right now, that's nowhere in this story. And it's not... So you could try to put that in, but I don't necessarily think...
Okay.
Unless you say that as long as they are together, there's it threatens the security of the throne or whatever, then yeah. It makes it an issue. See, that's what I'm saying. So you need to make
that... Are you
that
talking about the overall story,
well,
or
no,
are you talking about the issue of the main versus impact?
Well, the main versus impact issue is security versus trust. So it's about their relationship.
Right.
So in their relationship...
Only one can win.
But how is that security? See, you picked the point as of issue. Now,
okay.
If it's the issue, then you need to illustrate issue as opposed to, you've got some storytelling, so you want to find a place where that works. For instance, let's see. All right. You've got a catalyst, a main versus impact story catalyst, which the things that creates more conflict or moves things along as threat.
Uh-huh.
But you get security versus threat. Well, maybe if one of them, maybe if there's a threat to separate the two of them, that will move things along. So there you get your, I want this storytelling bit in the story, which is there is some interest by somebody that's causing a rift in their relationship about separating the conjoined twins. Is that more or less where you were thinking?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So let's make that the catalyst.
Somebody doesn't want them to both rule. Somebody wants only one of them to rule.
But that would not be necessarily in the relationship through line. That might be in the overall story through line, and then you'd want to look over here and see where that would go. See, right now, this is the hard part about doing the story embroidery. This is the story we have to tell. Not the one we might want to tell.
Yeah.
You know, okay. So the story that you're talking about could work, but you're trying to cram it, tram this into the story that you're building in your mind.
Okay.
And really, the purpose of this, and what's really challenging about it, is that you have no emotional connection to this at this point. It's not
right.
Your story. You're being told, okay, now tell someone else's story. Take your ideas, but make them fit in this other mold.
Okay.
So it's your difficulty with it is completely natural. Yeah. I mean, Sandy's been doing it a long time too, and he was a little bit tongue-tied. So
it's hard to know where to start.
Frankly, I'd start over at the characters.
Yeah.
Those are the easy ones. You guys are jumping right in, you know, head first, and I'm very proud of you, but it's tough.
I often start with through lines, actually.
Yeah, identifying the through lines or doing that. Do you want me, I can put that in there the way we were talking about it, if you feel comfortable with it, or if you feel like I've shoehorned it in a place that you didn't want it, then
I feel like I don't understand enough to be emphatic about it.
Okay, then pick one of the easy ones.
Yeah, let's have a guardian.
Okay.
That is...
be creative. Just don't make it a middle-aged person who's a writer. That's what so many people can tell you how many.
Yeah.
Actually, I was thinking about a maid.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, like a nanny maid. Well, actually fairly young, but some about 20s, early 20s.
Okay.
But
And name?
Mahika.
Spell that, please.
M-A-J-I-C-A.
Oh, that's nice.
Like that?
Yes, it's considering it's about magic. Yes, I think that's quite nice.
Okay, so,
okay,
you know,
so she's a maid.
Yeah, she'll take care of these guys.
Okay, that's perfect. All right, Mahika. Okay, you're gonna go back to you, Sandy. Okay,
I'm gonna go to the main character. Through line. Can I name the main character?
Absolutely.
Make the main character female. Call her. I don't know. Or you can probably come up with something better, but I'll just Reyna.
Okay.
That's good.
Like that?
Yeah, Queen.
And she is of the twins. She's sort of the I don't want to get there's a duality between them, but she is the one who is the more spiritual of the two, the one who does believe in the magic and believes that. That their community, their utopia community, you know, after many generations has lost its sense of magic.
Stay in your main character.
And, well, that's what I'm saying. she is trying to.
Sort of identify who she is and what she's about. Not the through line. All the stuff that's in the through line.
Oh, you don't want to deal with manipulation?
Not yet. No, that's the overall story.
All right.
That's the main character domain. That's a different topic.
Okay, she is the
how old is she? How old is she?
Oh, at this point, I'll say 19.
All right, that's fine. Okay. Let's leave that enough because we've got the whole entire through line, and I don't want to start limiting somebody else's choices.
Okay,
but she's one of the twins.
She's one of the twins, but I was going to say she's the one with the midichlorians, and her twin is not.
She doesn't have to be. Just because you've got the twins doesn't necessarily, although we did make that this. Yeah, no, she does have to be. That's the subject matter of the relationship through line.
My suggestion is the impact character being a visiting.
Well, we kind of have a limitation here. Yeah, because the relationship is about conjoined twins, it means it's going to be
witch
the
doctor.
I know, but it's going to be the two twins. I mean, you can
I'm going to be the two twins.
So, who do you want the witch doctor to be?
I thought it would be the impact character because he's an activity.
Okay, well, let's put him as one of the overall story characters. Which are the ones that we have remaining? Which is basically everybody except for the guardian. Who do you want the witch doctor character to be?
Protagonist.
Okay. All right. And do you have a name, or do you don't have to?
Zulu.
Okay. Zulu. And age, by any chance?
What?
And how old?
45.
Thank you. Oh, we got our middle aged man in here.
Hey, put him down. I'll choose in a minute.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Jim.
I was going to do protagonist. So I'm just going to switch mine to antagonist.
All right.
And it's a 500-year-old wizard who's come out of the mountains.
500-year-old wizard.
To
name.
Stop the prophecy. I don't know.
Say the name of your last boss and mix up the first and last letter.
I'm trying to think of. Frizzle. I don't
okay.
know.
That sounds fine.
Or is it Frizzell?
Frizzell. I like Frizzell. That better.
Okay. Yeah. I know some Frizzells.
It's been a while since I've played D&D's.
All right. Okay. And they're from England, actually.
See,
Northern England.
And that makes sense if it's going to be a failure.
Could be. Yes, you see, it's all going to start falling in together as soon as we start, you know, get enough pieces in there, it's going to start.
But, like, he could say he's 500, but, you know,
he
could not. He's good. Other storytelling.
Absolutely.
That's what he claims.
Can we challenge one of the,
nope.
the choices already? You just have to.
No,
nope,
you have to. That's it. Oh, I really didn't say what the other rules were. The other rule is once something has been established, you. That becomes law.
Okay.
So you can do something to enhance it.
Yeah.
You can do something to put it in a different context, which might make it mean something different.
Yeah.
But you really can't change it.
Okay.
You have to honor it.
Okay. I'll go for the sidekick of a little character called Orf, O-R-F. And he's the sidekick of the conjoined twins. And he gets to the spaces that they can't get to.
So how tall would you say?
He's a little character. Like
in centimeters?
Like three foot, so 36.
That's fine.
No, yeah.
We talk feet here. I'm
okay.
sure you're
okay.
So
he can't.
Foot.
They
so
can't
he.
Get to the
he.
Yeah,
he's a meter.
He.
And so if they can't get to like the top of the wardrobe, he can just like scurry up to the top and get something.
And is he a just a little human?
No, he's a little kind of I wouldn't say a dwarf character, but like a little kind of imp or something.
Okay.
Anyway.
I'll put impish.
Impish,
so.
Okay.
Wait.
And he's a sidekick to the, Oh, he'll be to the protagonist one. So.
Well, what you'll find is that really sidekicks are sidekicks to whoever they're with.
Oh, to whoever they're with.
I mean, they basically are, you know, faithful supporters. You know, it's like the in R2-D2 and C-3PO. It doesn't matter who they're passed off to. They're like, okay, we're with you. You know, rah, rah. You know, so. But, yeah, they certainly, they can start off with Reyna and her...
So if the main character is separate from the protagonist, will the Guardian support the main character or the protagonist or both?
They support.
Just in
general. They help. They're the helper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, it's usually easiest to look at it in terms of the goal because that's one thing that is consistent throughout the story, but really they're defined by their approach. Now, obviously, if we were writing a real story, we might start off with the archetypes and then really break them out to make them a little more interesting and not as archetypical. But, you know, the relationships, what we can do when we start filling this out more, we can establish exactly how those things work, especially in the overall story, which is where the archetypes show up.
Can I just ask one more question about psychic?
Of course.
Say, like, you know, we've got James Bond and the villain, and the protagonist is the villain because he's the one moving the plot forwards.
Yeah.
And the antagonist is actually James Bond because he's actually stopping the protagonist.
Well, I would... Here's... let me stop you.
Okay.
The best way for that I think of where the protagonist is you think of what is the goal.
Yeah.
And you think of what the goal is what the author's intent is.
Okay.
What is the author saying is the thing that's trying to be achieved?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's a bad thing, then, and if it's something that's negative, the characters don't like, and we're not supposed to like it, then the protagonist would be the one trying to stop it.
Oh, really? Is that way around?
Yeah. So you have to. Protagonist and antagonist is really the pro and anti is where the author thinks things should really be.
I thought it was who was driving the action forward.
Well, it is. I mean, okay, we have a shopping center. We want to build a shopping center. The author says the shopping center is good, so the protagonist is the one who's trying to get it built. The antagonist is the one trying to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a shopping center that's going to be built. The author thinks this is a bad thing because it's in a bird sanctuary.
Yeah.
So the protagonist is the one trying to stop it from being built, and the antagonist is the one who's trying to put it in.
I say it's author intent. Okay.
It really is, because otherwise you can keep twisting that and twisting it, and you'll never have a way to ground it. You'll never be able to figure out, wait, now, Because you get into double negatives and things like that. So
the protagonist is the author's voice.
No, it's kind of like
intent.
It certainly seems, I mean, to me, it'll work either way. You can say whoever's the protagonist and antagonist as long as your audience gets that. It's just generally speaking, when you see pro, whose voice are they thinking of? Well, they're thinking the author. The author's the only one who really knows anything. I mean, until the story's over, they're the one who's sort of saying it. So, in something like Macbeth, although he's the main character, he's trying to do something naughty. He's trying to steal away the kingship, essentially. And that's not seen by Shakespeare to be a good thing. So he's really not the protagonist in it. He's really the antagonist, as is Richard III, as is most of the tragedies. Not all of them. Obviously, Hamlet's not negative. That's a tragedy because it's bad. But so you have a character who is trying to get something. I mean, it's a personal tragedy. Because in the big picture, everybody wins out. They don't have this crappy guy leading the country anymore. Richard III has not taken over the realm. So that's kind of a good thing. For him, it's not. He's in a really bad place. But boy, we sure dodged a bullet there. So, you know, it's the whole thing about that, it's however you want to do it. I mean, I just personally think...
You take Rain Man, where the protagonist, Tom Cruise, is the protagonist, but it's really not a noble goal.
No, he's trying to steal from his retarded brother.
But he's still the protagonist.
Right.
But,
he's the one who's trying to do it, and it fails. Mm. He's definitely trying to get it done. And it seems to be a reasonable thing for him to do, considering he is a son. Now, it turns out, we find out that he's been kind of crappy and is not really worthy of it. And he himself says, no, I don't want any of it. Because they give him a check for $200,000, no questions asked. And he goes, no, he doesn't even take that. He throws that back. So he really does fail. And, you know, having him get half of it is not a bad goal. You know, he wanted, sort of like more than half of it. And he didn't really even know about all the rest of it. So you just have to be really careful about it. It can be either way. You just have to make sure that once you, as the author, have chosen who's the protagonist, who's the antagonist, everything has to line along that.
I mean, in Goldfinger, yes, Goldfinger's pursuing the Fort Knox scheme, but James Bond is basically...
trying to
foil. He's pursuing the story goal of foiling Goldfinger, and Goldfinger's trying to prevent his success.
I've always had it the way around. I've always thought it was whoever was trying to achieve whatever goal was set out.
But the story goal is kind of the moral positioning of the author.
It's the moral positioning, okay.
Yeah, I mean,
I never knew that.
Technically, you can do it either way, and it will more or less work. Then that's why it's important when you're looking at the Guardian, the Skeptic, and all of that.
Yeah.
They are not attached to the protagonist or the antagonist. So you can easily do it the way you're saying, because you can have a sidekick to the antagonist just as easily as you have a sidekick to the protagonist.
Yeah.
Because they just represent help and support.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I just think that it's a little dangerous when you get into the double negatives. Yeah. Where I have something I think is bad, but I want the main character, that the protagonist is trying to do something bad, and the person that I like, the hero, is actually the antagonist. Yeah. You know, it's like,
I had this in my novel, just going, actually.
Right, and it's...
exactly the same problem.
Right, well, and you try and get your head around it, it's like, but my hero, which is, the idea of a hero is an emotional connection to it, the moral center, it's this author's commentary, or, said, this is the way I want this character to feel to my audience, being noble or whatever, flawed, but, the good guy... you think of where the good guys, those are the protagonists, where the bad guys, those are the antagonists, doesn't matter what, and then position the goal accordingly. I think that would be the easy way, the cheap way to do that.
This would make a great article, by the way, because I haven't seen it anywhere in Dramatica, the whole idea of the moral positioning of the author.
Melanie and I have talked about a lot, and we've talked about it sort of in this occasionally, but yeah, I think it probably would be a good topic for us. So, go ahead. Well,
we have an interesting situation because Reina means queen.
Yeah.
So if these are conjoined...
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, you did.
I honestly did, but go ahead.
You honestly did not?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, see, that makes it a little complicated then. Because
not at all.
Well, because the impact character is the other twin, right?
Right.
And so you can't, like, call that... If it's going to be a girl, you can't call her, like, princess or...
What world are we in?
Well, we're in the magic world, so I'm thinking it should...
the conjoined twin could be the little elf. I don't know. It could be anything.
No, I'm thinking it should be a boy.
They don't have to be identical twins.
I'm thinking it could be a boy.
The twin?
Why not? I mean, remember...
Why not?
Don't be limited. Think outside the box. You could have birth twins
where
one's a boy and one's a girl, and they're conjoined. Why not?
Yeah, I think we need Rex and Reina.
But why don't we... Hold on. Get your turn.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. So we've got sidekick, Armando. Did we do yours? No, I think you're next. Yeah.
Okay, can I skip from the characters?
Of course.
Do you have a concern?
Sure.
Already? Okay, under penalty of law...
Which through line?
The objective.
Okay.
Story.
Oh, it's concern?
No one believes in magic. Yeah, the concern, which is impulsive responses, is under penalty of law on Shangri-La. Everybody who says a word that may be considered magical goes to jail. Like you say, okay, I don't believe you're mumbo jumbo. Oh, there you go. Find this guy.
Okay, so how is that illustrative of impulsive responses?
You say these words all the time without an unthinking response. It's like, okay, I don't know, all this abracadabra.
Okay.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so the concern is...
Yeah.
Okay.
Nobody can say...
Thrown in jail.
That is really good, yeah.
In jail for unthinking utterances, referencing magic.
Yeah. How was your evening last night? Oh, it was magical. That kind of stuff, yeah.
Buzzer, disqualified.
Yeah.
Good jail.
Okay, that's fun. Alrighty.
That's a good rule.
Well, okay, the plot driver, story driver, is decision, and what sets the story in the motion?
So the inciting event.
Trying to think this through so it's consistent, but it's basically the decision on, let's assume there's this, you know...
Wait, it's decision?
This closed community of Shangri-La, and there's a council of elders who have decided basically to eliminate magic, to eliminate any presence of magic, probably out of... in hopes that the effects of such boogeymen as Frizzell, as a perceived boogeyman as Dr. Zulu... would have no... in other words, they're trying to prevent any...
Proclamation forbidding magic.
Forbidding magic. A proclamation, right. and
so the decision on high is no more magic, and that starts all...
They've decided to do that to make sure, to sort of, in theory, to ensure that the populace would not be overtaken by Frizzell or Dr. Sulu or any of their type.
Right. Okay.
So who would they be?
Who would they be?
The board of directors. I mean, the
council of elders.
Yeah, so...
Well, we have...
One of these?
We don't know. They might be part of them here.
Okay.
Remember, you were talking about...
Oh, yeah.
The impact character...
They're obviously skeptics.
Quite. No. They could easily be contagonists.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or reason.
Yeah,
or emotions.
Hurdlers.
So you wanted to put the impact character up here? I think you had...
Oh, I
want to
do three things.
Well,
we'll
go around two more times after this.
Okay, yeah, I want the impact character to be Rex.
Rex, okay. And Rex?
Yeah, yeah.
Is her brother, you know, their brother and sister.
All right. Is there anything else about them? I mean, is he also 19, or is he a different age?
Well, he has to be the same age.
No, he doesn't. We're talking about magic and all sorts of things, 500-year-old people.
Right.
What says he has to be 19 years old? So maybe he was waiting for her. I've been in there 7 years, and I was waiting for you to come along to take me out of there. I don't know. You can just think of all sorts of things. So, you're sitting in there, and then suddenly the other egg comes down there, and whoop, or he aged faster. He's aging faster than anybody else.
Chris. Someone joined the Ewok.
Chris.
Yes.
He's 19.
He's 19. All right.
She was born 11:59 on February 28th, and he was born 12 midnight, February 29th.
Yeah, I think that's good, because that creates conflict. Who's really...
the old elder?
Elder. Yeah. And they, are we going to do elder, or are we going to do who's got the most warts, or who's the prettiest,
So
you're saying he was born on...
let's just make him...
Who was
for when the story starts, which is going to be leap year, right, you said?
Well, so, we haven't established that yet, but you can certainly establish
that.
Really
so just, he could just, be 20. He could be 20.
Oh, you want him 20. Okay. See, I think that's a little more interesting.
I do, too.
You make them different ages, and suddenly...
But it's by minutes.
But the thing is that you can make up whatever rules there are. Right. You don't have to be locked into the real world. That's the great thing about making up a story, is that you make up the rules as well.
Yes.
The important thing is that you have rules and that you follow them, but they can be whatever you want. You know, and that's the difference between misleading an audience and lying to them. If you mislead them, means you imply something, but you're still following the rules. Lying to them means you're breaking the rules. It's like saying a vampire can't see the sun, and then you have them walking around in, you know, in shades. Well, if you don't say it, then you could do it. But if you say it, then you can't, or essentially you lose the trust of the audience. So
can I finish about Rex?
Yes, you may.
So I think Rex should be very smart.
Okay.
And very ugly.
Okay. Perfect.
Our motion character, Dr. Max Friedman, MD.
Great. With purple glasses?
Yeah, right.
A nice Jewish man caught in this fairy tale. How did this happen? Yeah. Anything else about that? That's great. This has been a lot of fun. Okay.
I came in late. I'm going to pass.
Okay.
Okay. Shoot. So I was thinking for the consequence, because I guess that's what will happen then, since it's a failure story. You know, that the elders kind of get their way and progress comes to Shangri-La.
So we have consequences, progress, or how things are changing?
Yeah.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
So progress comes to Shangri-La. Ooh, that's nice.
That's, you know... Wait, that's the consequence of failure?
Yes.
Oh, so there's a failure, so that's the... Okay.
Yeah, that's an interesting... That's interesting. Yeah,
well, it is a judgment of good, and...
Interesting.
I'd like to see the Contagonists as the company of elders, because they're the ones that are tempting and... What's the other thing? You ever
hinder.
Yeah, hinder.
Hinder and tempting, yeah. But they hinder and tempt their people. They hinder and tempt the main character and the impact character. So they're just no good all round.
Okay, and any particular number?
Let's have 7.
Yes.
Okay, the magical number.
A good magical number.
All right, Armando.
Okay, what else do we have? Goal, I think it's very obvious now, is I think they want to make everybody to react like modern people, like progressive people, instead of those ignorant Shangri-Liars from years ago, that kind of stuff, no?
So the goal, which is an impulsive response, is to react like...
Make everybody react
like normal people.
Like modern people, modern. I think, because it's about the consequences, about the progress, no?
So...
But isn't...
Well, but their definition of modern might not be the same thing as progress.
Yeah.
But
I was just saying, isn't that the same? I mean, if the protagonist is the witch doctor, wouldn't he want people to react more magically? And then that
fails.
Progress.
Yeah.
But he failed.
Yeah.
But so when he says react like normal, you mean normal meaning with magic?
Without.
Okay. We have no one believes in magic except one person. The protagonist, we're setting up a goal, which the protagonist is going to be the one that's promoting. So yes, you do have to keep this protagonist in mind. So the witch doctor is going to be, can you clarify this a little bit so that it keeps the witch doctor in mind? What's he promoting?
This is the
protagonist, the witch doctor.
So
you might need to say...
It works, just
you need to define what normal is, and if it's normal means normal with magic being there.
Okay.
I'm not sure that's
true. Okay, so suppose he was a witch doctor all this time, and he says, okay, that's enough. From this moment on, I want everybody to be modern, to be progressive, to be, contemporary. How do you
reasonable.
Say that?
Reasonable.
Yeah.
Okay,
all right.
I guess the question then in the overall story where no one believes in magic except for one person.
Yeah.
Who is he? Is he the one person, or is he representative of the people who don't believe in magic?
No, I think
because the protagonist is going to be the one promoting whatever the goal is.
And if the modernizers win, then it should be somebody that's promoting.
Well, again, depending on how you want to call it modern, because modern might be not progress. Progress might be something where there, in fact, isn't any magic. We don't have magic and progress are not mutually exclusive.
When I said progress comes to Shangri-La, that's what I meant. Like, they got rid of the old magical ways and went into a more modern society.
Okay, so I'll just put in there, progress means no magic. No more magic.
Okay, then the goal should be the opposite.
The goal should be the opposite,
Everyone
should believe in that. Yeah. So react like...
magical people.
Okay, that's good. That'll work. Which, of course, with the concern thrown in where you can't say anything or do anything or even utter anything magical... That would be a hindrance of the goal. It would be a concern. React like magical people. Okay, so that definitely works better. Good. Okay, Sandy.
Well, we've got two spots for our archetypal characters, and we have not placed Reyna or Rex in those spots.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
They should have a role in the objective story characters or.
So pick one. And remember, their role, though, in here, so you've got, one can be skeptic and one can be reason, but what their function in the overall story is different than whether they are personally.
Right, right. I guess I would have to put Reyna under skeptic in the sense that she is skeptical of the new order, new governmental order. Sorry.
And well, where is she in the overall story? She's a skeptic, but what is her role?
She is campaigning basically to overturn the proclamation.
But what is she? That's what she's doing. But who is she? What's her role? Where is she in society?
Well, okay. We've established that she.
For instance, we have doctors, mm-hmm. we have elders, we've got imps, we've got wizards, witch doctors. What is her? Where is she?
She is the second in line to the throne.
Okay, that's what I was trying to get to. I was gonna say, or the heir apparent, or whatever.
So she's the
second in line,
If Rex is the first in line, in theory, she would be the second in line.
Okay, second in line.
Although that, again, we can make up new rules if we want, but...
Okay, so because that's really important.
And I don't like the word throne, though. I think
for ruler,
right?
Okay,
I'm sure there's probably a more fantastical word we would use.
I'm sure there is.
Did you put it that way?
Yes, that throne. Yes.
Yeah. Rex is green.
The key is hanging right there.
The fantastic key. No.
There you go. Either one. You pick.
But you can't change once you.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Let's see. Is that my silly phone? Yeah. I think that
I'll call you back. I'm story weaving.
Yes, I shut you up, whoever you are. Okay. I don't know how to do that. So, all right. So reason,
Well, I think it's gonna have to be Rex.
It has to be. But it fits because he's smart.
Right.
He's like over smart, so all he can do is reason.
Okay.
But like an overachiever, he's like the, you know.
Let her do the story.
That's exactly right. You're mind reading me.
Okay. So, right. Yeah. And yeah. Is he the third in line or the first in line?
No, he's the first. Well, he's just 1 minute older, so he's the first in line.
You make up the rules.
Older is next.
Okay.
Older is winner.
So, next in line.
And what we don't have, though, is the father or the mother somewhere.
Right. Well, they could be absent from the story. They're on a vacation.
Well,
they're out of the story.
You know what? They just died. Maybe.
Okay. Well, we can.
And so now we have a situation in the kingdom where we have to decide who's next.
Well, but it's a situation where they're stuck in, as opposed to the overall story is all about fixed attitude.
Rex is second in line, and he's 20. He's older than Rena. Wouldn't he be first in line?
He is first in line.
That's all we put first.
Yeah, but next.
But the people on the throne are actually just not part of the story. Right, in other words, they're the parents, the actual...
First in line. There's no question. He's first in line.
Mm-hmm. I meant next as... But first is clearer.
So, Bob, do you have any?
No, that's all...
Nope. Okay.
I was going to go where she was, put it on Rex, you know.
Okay. Do you want to set the time period?
Modern time.
Okay. Sound good? Gunther?
No, nothing.
Okay.
Nothing to it.
Putting Jim on the spot.
Switch seats.
Okay, how about the requirement of memories? So the good Dr. Zulu comes to town, or maybe he's already in town, and tries to get Raina to remember her ancestral connection to her ancestors, like to remember her magical powers or her to be able to bring back the memories of them.
Okay. Past live memories or something?
Yeah. Something magical. You know, like she has to do that. She has to remember like where she used to come from in order to react like a magical person.
Okay.
Let's see.
So she best recall past life magical sources or incantations or...
Isn't that close?
Oh, that's a good word. How about spells?
Sure.
That's fine. Yeah.
Why not? She has to recall the spells.
Okay.
How to say them. How to do them.
Works.
Okay.
Cool.
Little thievery from...
Okay, I'll go with the activity through line for the impact character of the impact character wants to go to the top of a mountain in order to see, I don't know, the oracle or something. So yeah, I can't remember which one. Rex wants both of them to go to the top of the mountain. They have to undertake a physical task of climbing.
But make it less about a task and more about an activity. In other words, Rex wants to take up mountain climbing, or
I see.
It's a process.
Oh, process, not the end goal. I see. All right, I see.
I mean, obtaining, that's the difference sort of between obtaining and doing.
Oh, okay.
Doing is about the process, obtaining is about the end, the result.
All right, so climbing is the activity, because that's something that's quite hard for twins to do.
Okay.
So the other question I had was, is it the impact character themselves or their impact on the main character? We should think about it.
Yes.
Which one? Or both?
Both.
Right.
And okay. It can be, you can encode it either way.
Okay.
The important thing is that because of the presence of this impact character and because of the alternative either approach or attitude, that has an effect on the main character by forcing the main character to have to deal with, in this case, her personal issues.
Okay. Okay, then impact character, activity of climbing.
Okay, climbing. And anything in particular? Or for a particular reason? Or for...
I'm just trying to see
if we want to expand it. Obviously, when we get into the details of that through line, we'll get more details. We can just leave it at climbing. That's fine.
Okay. Maybe the higher up they go, the more magic they can do.
So climbing for magicking?
Yeah, so the higher you get... They can't do much magic on the ground. The higher they go, the more magic they can actually... the more powerful the magic is.
Okay, so it's climbing for performing magic.
Yeah, you need to be high up to do good magic.
See, performing magic is definitely, like climbing, is definitely
also an activity.
That's good thing.
All right.
Okay.
And that's the activity of climbing?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so climbing for performing
magic. They get out from under the effect of the elders, the higher they get.
Yeah, maybe there's a big dense cloud and you can't do anything on the ground. You have to be high up.
Above the cloud.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
Yeah, that's working.
Okay, we don't have the main character, true line.
Nope.
Manipulation.
So our main character, who is Reyna.
Reyna, how about if she makes everybody believe that she has more power, more magical power than anyone?
How would she do that? Through manipulation, she makes people believe that she's got more power?
Yeah, or at least attempts to, or has the objective to, or something.
Right.
Prove power?
Tries to make people...
Hey, what if she has no magic that makes people
believe?
Yeah.
She's more powerful than anyone else. Yes, of course, that would be a problem. What is the main character problem? Hunch. Okay, that's interesting. And the symptom is unending. Oh, there's some good stuff that could be in there. Okay.
Well, I was already planning to go to the main character concern of playing a role.
Okay.
I was going to kind of borrow an element from Elizabeth, the first Elizabeth movie, where, you know, she says, in order to be the people's queen, I've got to be a virgin, right? So she, you know, and so Rain in this case, in order to, we can possibly set up to where the brother and sister can be king and queen. In this land, but in order to be the queen or be the princess, to potentially be the ruler, she's got to, to be the magical one, since magic has been eliminated in society, she's got to be the magic for the people, just the same way Elizabeth wanted to be the virgin, since the Catholic Church has been
So, how do you express that as a concern? Where's conflict in that?
Right. She's her brother is saying we've got to go do these things. We've got to go climb the mountain. We've got to go practice magic. And she says no. It's not about doing. It's about being the magic. It's about having a magical presence and being the inspiration for the people. That's what I'm trying to accomplish while you're trying to go do all these and you're trying to drag me up to the mountaintop and do all that, and I'm saying that's just that's not going to appeal to the people. We've got to work on, you know, playing that role of being the magic, you know, being the magic that has been, being the magic to the people that has been outlawed, basically. So that they have something that, you know.
So she would be...
Her concern is to figure out how to be that magical figurehead. How to be the magical figurehead for the people.
Down now, in that case, you're not talking about actually becoming it, but acting it.
Acting it for the sake of for the sake of being a bit figurehead for the people. Yeah.
That's sort of maybe how to act like a magical figurehead.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Mm-hmm.
So you've got the Rex then, who really wants to climb the mountain to get the magic and the powers, and you've got her just wanting to pretend like
it. She's saying you don't have to go. You don't actually have to have the magic if you've got the right attitude. If you've got
the chutzpah, nice
If everybody believes you're magical, then you're magical. And he's saying, no, you actually have to go do these things, and in order to do it, you have to go climb up above these mountains, and then you can practice the magic. So you see there's definitely a conflict there, and since the two of them have to go everywhere together, it makes it...
Oh, they haven't been separated?
No.
Yeah. No?
Oh, they're still... Oh! I'm just, you know, considering how, you know, surgery today, it is modern times, and the, you know, medical practices, I just figured they were probably...
What if they, you know, in separating, they can't do magic anymore?
Well, that's another
angle. That might be... we've got the whole relationship we're allowed to explore. Okay, Sally?
Oh. Okay, so the impact character, we've got this cause and effect test and trust. That sort of feels right.
You're looking at the impact character?
Impact character, problem, solution, symptom, and response.
Right. And I mean, that fits with what you just said, doesn't it?
Of course it does.
Well, wait a minute. Who's the
chief character? It feels like it does.
He's a steadfast character.
He's
a steadfast character, so he's, right? Yeah,
he's
steadfast. So the problem is not really a problem, per se. It's really the source of his drive.
Okay, so his drive is the cause.
His drive is...
Causes.
Yeah, he
cause is, you know, cause is the impact character's drive.
So. He has the cause of getting to the top of the mountain to get the most magic. He wants to get legitimate magic, right?
He wants to see cause and effect happen. He wants to go perform the magic to create the cause, causality.
He's trying to find, or he's trying to find what the source is. In that case, what cause is it. You can look at cause as either a source, or you can look at it as, like, as a cause. You're going for a cause, you know, fighting for a cause. Because that... Really, again, you're talking about the cause is the source of, you fix the cause and or you address the cause and you are solving some, having a particular effect by doing that.
So I think in this case it's both. He is climbing the mountain. His cause is to get to the top and get the most magic, but he won't find out how that works until he does his climbing. So it's kind of both.
Right, but you know, so focus on his drive. You say his drive is cause, and
right.
So what is... Can you just narrow it to that part? You've already got the climbing part, so you're saying what cause would be... What's his cause, or what cause is he either motivated to find, or...
Become the magical one. Become the really most magical one that will bring... He'll be so magical that he overpowers this rule that they just did.
Okay, but tie that to the word. Tie that to cause. Okay, cause is the specific circumstances that lead to effect.
When he climbs the mountain, the higher he goes, the more magical he gets. His cause is to reach the top and overpower all the people below him.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That sounds fine. So it's to
his drive, we said, instead of problem.
Right. He's trying to bring about the magic? Is that what he's trying to do?
He's
is that
trying
his cause?
To get it inside himself. He's they're both trying to be magical.
Right, but listen.
He
this
wants
is about
to
him.
Be authentic. He wants the authentic magic that you get when you climb the mountain.
Okay. To
it's part of the history that if you, whoever's going to be the most magical has to get the top of the mountain.
So, if we were going to say, what is the effect of that? So what would he? So what if what for him? What effect would satisfy him?
He would have powers.
So that if he had powers, then there's no more drive for him.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I mean, he wants to rule. They both want to rule.
Well, we're not talking about anybody else but him. Okay. So what I'm trying to say is, if his drive, the source of his drive, is cause. Specifically what cause. Sometimes if you know what the effect is, then you say, okay, this is what he's doing.
I see.
He has...
In the context that we have so far,
mm-hmm.
Okay, he wants to be the authentic magician and his sister wants to be the pretend magician. He wants to be on the top of the mountain. She wants to be effective on the ground. And as it turns out, the effect of him getting to the top means he will actually be able to rule down below as well.
Okay, so he wants magical power.
Off in the getting
and
there,
the effect is
he wants to see visceral results.
Right.
Basically, he wants to physically.
But
see
that's
magic
the but that's with, the solution. That's the cause of it. I mean, mm-hmm. the source is that he wants his methodology, for want of a better term, is to go to the source of magic, to find the cause
find,
of magic.
Find the oracle and do the spells,
okay.
Whereas to her, it's more of a magic is more of a psychological game.
Right. I'll learn the spells, and I'll figure out how to say them, and I'll look magical and make it happen.
Okay, I'm going to put it in here as find the source of magic. I understand what you're saying. I mean, that's sort of like, if it's cause, as in, this is what I stand for, is to find the source of magic, because the effect is... So I can rule the world, or whatever. Yeah, and that does that.
Okay.
That's your intent. I mean, that's kind of where you're going
with
it. Okay, all right. I mean, obviously, this is, when you're doing it yourself, it's going to be a pages or whatever material to flesh that out. Bob, did you have any? Yep.
Oh, come on,
Jim.
Here's my place.
You might as well just sit next to Sally.
Yeah, where is he? Okay, Astoria.
I'm basically going to steal one of his ideas and just
excellent.
Stick it in there because I liked it. Her critical flaw of skill.
The main character's critical flaw of skill.
While she's pretending, she's trying to be a magical person, she doesn't have the skills to be.
So no magical skills.
Yeah, she doesn't have it.
Even though
the witch doctor's coming saying you have to remember all this stuff, she really just doesn't have it.
Right, desire versus skill.
Then, of course, her brother, who does have it, just really points out all her flaws.
Okay.
Excellent.
Well, his unique ability is experience.
Yeah.
Right.
What's the difference between the concern and the signpost? I'm a bit unclear about this.
The concern is something that is going to be tied directly to the problem. It's going to be there the whole story. So
is this the concern of the character for the whole story?
If you're talking about one of the character through lines.
Yes.
For the main character or the impact character?
Yeah. So, say main character concern playing a role, does that mean the main character is trying to play a role throughout the entire story?
Yeah, they'll be concerned with...
Concerned with...
Playing a role.
Because you also see playing a role in one of the signposts as well, which is...
Certainly. So, in other words, as they're going... As they're trying to... They've got this problem that they're dealing with, and they've got this sort of... Concern is kind of like a personal goal. They're going to try different... techniques, because they're not completely sure that that's the way to do it.
Oh, including the one that they're concerned with.
Absolutely.
Oh, I see.
And so they have to try everything. And that's the nature of why you have acts. It's because that it goes through and you've got to try everything. And during that, you actually have the characters grow. So what she think about playing the role at the beginning of the story compared to where she is at the end, it's going to be different because it's going to be modified by these other attempts at different alternative methods.
Okay.
And she might think, you know, that's a really bad way of going about it, in which case she probably would change and adopt the main character.
Sure.
Or she goes, you know, I feel really comfortable about this. Of all these that I've tried, that one fit the best.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, so did you want to...
I haven't thought of one this time. Sorry, can I go after after these two?
Sure.
Thanks.
Armando?
Where were we?
I think you're going to need to look to the story for me, so I didn't put any blanks. Well, we have relationship and overall story still. We haven't sort of the subject matter wise. We've kind of touched on it a little bit right now in the relationship. All we've got is that they're conjoined twins. That's they're stuck together. But there might be something.
Yeah. The relationship. I don't know. Was it about the quest for the throne? Can that work? I think.
Sure. Okay. So. You got this relationship. Now, are they fighting for it? What kind of relationship are you talking about?
I think they're competing.
Competing for. Now you have to be careful. No, that's fine. So competing for the throne. That's a situation, so that's an external thing to compete.
Yeah.
That's good. That works fine. Sandy? And remember, we have other characters you can employ in your descriptions of Fruit Line, so especially in the overall story.
There's one issue I want to address.
Okay.
Just to maintain our continuity, but an idea just occurred to me that...
You want to write it down?
I know. Well, no. I'm trying to see if I can make this fit. Where would it be the best place to have this happen? Somewhere, either signpost 2 or 3
of
the subjective story.
Okay.
Oh. Signpost 2 is how
I say signpost 3, the future.
Okay.
Rex has they're on the mountaintop. Rex has performed a spell and they are now split.
Yeah,
that's
good. Yeah,
that's a climax. No, that's definitely going to affect their future, right?
Yeah.
The progress, how things are changing is leading up to that, but you know, the progress of the spells, the progress of their arguments about what's the best approach to, you know, to be a proper ruler of the people, blah, blah, blah. But the whole future is called into question when an actual spell is performed and they are now separate people.
Interesting. I like that.
Okay.
I do too. I really
okay, so that frees us up to... pursue more story angles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mike, did you want to...
Maybe in the past, signpost 1, in the past, maybe the reason they're on this journey to get to the mountaintop is because in the past, when they... Hang on.
No. Okay. I was going to say, something occurs to me is that you've got... these two that are supposed to be the next, well, potentially. I'm starting to throw in some stuff that's not in here. This isn't in here.
You can have a turn.
I'm just. This is stuff that seems to be bubbling up. Maybe they are the king and queen, and maybe it has to be a conjoined male and female brother or sister or whatever they are that becomes the next rulers. And which, of course, if they do get split, which causes additional problems, especially with it being a failure story.
So, like, all the past rulers have been conjoined.
They've always been conjoined, and they've always... Sorry, that's why I was...
Right.
That's
yeah,
why
that's
you were talking about the past thing.
But you had the governmental entity, the parliament, who has, gone with this edict, which is... They basically outlawed Rex and Reyna.
Right.
And so there's that conflict there.
Right, and so you could say that first signpost is all about the history of how the nature of the relationship between the king and queen or whatever has always been this way, and now it is outlawed.
Well, I was going to say that you needed the male and female energy combined
sure.
For it all to work. You could only rule with the male and female energy.
But they've always been conjoined twins, so it's always been this really unique relationship, something that only happens, whatever, you know, in this magical strand or law. Okay, well, so now you've got... it's going to be something about, you know, the way things happened in the past and the relationships, and now this one is a little bit different, and they're being compared to that. Have we make sure we don't to put too much of the overall story in the relationship through line. So it's got to be really about between them. But
well, they have a past to live up to, I guess. That's in their relationship.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That works.
That's good. They...
Which puts pressure on their relationship. Yeah.
Past
to live up to.
To live.
What country should this be in?
I suspect it's probably in a fictitious country, but I don't know. We haven't really specified geographically where Shangri-La is.
It's in Dramatica.
What?
Dramatica.
Dramatica.
Oh, boy. I just think I tossed my cookies on that one. I know you meant it nicely, but it's just a little over the top. Well, it's your turn.
Is it?
Yep.
Oh, it is.
I mean, if you want to pass, it's not a problem. But I suggest trying. Yeah, I suggest trying it because
I just don't know.
That's the whole nature of the exercise, is to.
Okay, overall story. Oh, I want to do something with that maid. I don't know.
Okay,
why.
Well then, look to the overall story.
Okay. Fixed attitude. We already did that.
Might want to test and trust.
Yeah, confidence and worry.
You also have a benchmark of memories, and that's a benchmark is always a real fun tool. What that means is that you use, in this case, either forgetting or remembering as a way to indicate that the through line is progressing.
Okay,
so
well,
maybe
I want the guardian to remember everything. I want her to be a repository of all memories.
Okay.
Even though she's young, she has total recall.
Cultural
now, well, okay. Yeah. Now, as
she's the guardian of all the memories.
Right.
See? She's the guardian.
Now, look at this.
Okay.
As a benchmark, it's got to change over time. So maybe she starts off and she remembers everything.
But she's not going to tell.
No. But as the story progresses, she starts to lose some of the memories. And that's one of the things that's indicating to us the direction of how things are going. So that's the nature of what a benchmark does, is it shows us the progress of the through line. And since this is a failure story where magic loses out, then you've got this person who starts off and they are the source of all this magical history, you know,
right,
in her memories, and she begins to lose it. And we know that by, you know, as she loses it, things are approaching the end of the story.
Well, what about if she...
Or she remembers, either way.
Well, what I was thinking is that instead of her losing the memories she has lose validity. In other words, she can remember it all, but following them as the story progresses, those memories are no longer useful. They're no longer valid. In other words, they don't apply anymore. This is going to be a whole new thing.
Okay. That's another
but
way of doing
the,
it.
She's the repository of all the memories, of all the way it's ever been. And, you know, we're constantly measuring how the story's going as according to her memories of everything.
And so what you're saying is that, though, as the story progresses, all the things that she's remembering become less and less relevant.
Exactly.
Okay.
Less applicable. I mean, they aren't. They don't work anymore. Everything that used to be is no longer.
So magicka, or whatever name.
Could that work? Could that work? Everyone. Hello.
Yeah.
No. Yes.
Yes.
Maybe.
Are they not working because magicka is outlawed?
Well, we don't know. We haven't really. I mean, partly. But we don't know exactly the cause yet because we haven't gotten down to the problem.
Right.
But her. But we know that one of the effects is that her memories become less and less relevant to running the nation or whatever.
Yeah, I was actually going to address overall story problem and solution.
Oh, I think that's a really good idea.
Well,
you have to wait.
You don't have to wait if you don't. And yeah, Bob?
She has a hunch that if she becomes a playboy...
She? Rena?
Yeah.
Main character problem of hunch. Okay.
She had a hunch that if she becomes a playboy centerfold, that would give recognition to her country.
Okay. And how is that her problem?
Is that she's not that good looking.
She's congenital. Congenital joint.
Okay, so
a sense of both of you.
She can't make love appearance.
Okay, her, basically, she believes that her hunch is that if she can get, for want of a better term, outside recognition from the outside world.
Yes.
Then. Her problems will be her personal problems will be solved.
Will be recognized.
Well, this is about the main character, though. Don't. Yeah, but for her personally.
Yeah, yeah.
So, if she gets recognition from the outside world, she will be fulfilled or whatever.
Yeah,
she'll feel better. Okay. Okay, so she feels it's important. To be recognized by outside world and applies to be a playboy playmate.
Yeah.
Or one of the magazines called.
She applies to be a playboy playmate.
That's
her main character, Hunt. She has this idea that, okay, if I can get recognition from outside of my world that I'm a good person, that I'm good looking, and that whatever, then that'll give me enough, whatever it is that I need, that will satisfy my problem. I've got this hunch. I've got this feeling that this...
It'll help my career.
It'll help my career. Give me an edge up, whatever, but it's on our personal.
Does her brother pose with her?
What'd you say?
He doesn't have to undress, just her.
She can have
just like drape a black cloth.
That's right, or she'll be standing on, you know, next to a wall, you know, and he'll be on the other side of the wall.
He'll just be standing there smoking a cigarette.
Okay. Did you want, Gunther, you wanted to?
Yes,
he has no choice. I'm not sure how to make this fit because I've been mulling around some ideas based upon some things that were said, but I don't know where it would fit in. So may I
pass?
Say it?
Sure.
Okay. So help me open to all to help me fit it in where it would be. And if it's going to be thrown out, that's fine too. There was a couple things that were mentioned early on. One. I believe you had mentioned that she has, what was it? It was brought out that she has no magical ability, mm-hmm. as you had said.
Right.
Yet she has the desire to be the magic.
To play the role.
If she can play the role effectively to be the magic, then she will be magic. Is that
right.
the idea?
Yeah, that's
okay.
her theory.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I wanted to take it to a point, something we said that there are magical words are outlawed,
mm-hmm.
and proposed that perhaps her name is actually a magical word that no one knows yet. And if
oh, interesting.
People to
oh.
say it simultaneously, you have now given magical powers to the people.
Or
and she's the channel.
Okay, well.
Mm. That's a lot of stuff. It fits with the unique ability of her.
What is her name?
Of desire.
That he said about the... Uh-huh. She wanted to be magic. And also with the problem and solution, the hunch theory thing, theory. We can fit that. Fit it.
The theory as the overall story or as the main character?
Overall.
Overall story is what you're more like talking saying, about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unbroken chain of relationships.
The other thing is you also could have it be security, you know, a security issue as an inhibitor. I mean, you've got a lot of places that could go. That's a great idea.
I mean, if that's
a solution,
but it applies to the overall story.
Yeah, it's overall story. Overall yeah. story. So do you want that to be? Where would you like it to be? What sort of resolution?
Well, it would be interesting to make that be the grand reveal that turns the tide of the story at the very end. You know,
remember, it's a failure.
Yeah, but that's okay. But see, if that's the solution, and you basically it's presented, but it's too late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then you know it's sort of like her name has been there all along. It's the solution. You know, boom, and then it's like, well, you know, but magic's already dead. We're in the modern times now, guys. Mm. You know, and that would have been, again, sort of that part of it would be very tragic. Or maybe not. Maybe because she's never felt she's been magical, and she's always been pressured by the magic. I don't know. You can, you know, work it all sorts of different ways. Because she's going to be good. It's going to be good.
She's a changed character.
She's a changed character, and it's going to be good.
Feeling good.
Right. So that might be a release, so she's. It may be a magical. Her name turns out it is like a very powerful magical word, but
only for her, or she's the only one who benefits from it.
Well, I mean, if they say it, don't they all go to jail?
Well, but it's no. It's a really magical world. It's not like it's not the
something that may be
magical in the sense that it's just referring to magic. This is actually like an incantation or a spell or a. You know, a power, a word
like a
power.
Kind of.
Can I suggest that it goes in the signpost, because you're looking for a place to put it. Perhaps it should go in signpost 4 of the impact character.
Exactly.
Which is gathering information, because by the time that you can actually use it, it's too late to use it.
Oh, yeah, I think that sounds really good.
Well, it's a learning.
Yeah, because that would also be where he would be the one who'd be trying to find that, and then he finds it out, and it's too late.
It's too late.
Yeah, I think. Does that sound okay with you, Gunther?
No.
That's a great idea.
Wherever it fits best.
Impact character signpost 4.
Signpost
4.
He learns Raina's name. Raina's.
Her name holds magic.
Is magical, yeah. It holds magic, that's fine. Great.
Do other holds magic to other people because they didn't know that, but the name is magical to other people. If they knew it themselves, they would recognize it. But the fact that they
I think the way we've got it up with the whole thing with memories and using memory to try to find pull things out and get in the past and having to this is about the. Like he's looking again. The impact character Rex is looking for the source of magic, and then of course he learns that here is the key source. It's in his sister's name, but it's too late. And it's like I think that's a really nice twist. Okay.
Hey, what?
Oh, sorry. Okay.
He gave you his turn. All this time now.
You always want to skip past, so I thought I'd do you the favor, but no. Okay.
No.
You've had plenty of time. Now you know.
Now, because that's awesome and gave me or it was another idea. It's spawned another idea. Hopefully, it's not too convoluted. But the elders, I know they're the antagonists, but maybe they're working with the antagonists. Their whole because they know this information, so their whole reason for wanting to bring progress and modernization is to make it so people only communicate like through technology or through computers so they don't say it out loud, like say her name out loud or whatever. So that's kind of like as a forewarning, they have all these concepts of how the new city should be and how, so whenever they meet with like architects or with engineers and when more of their concept of the perfect society which is less verbal communication, the more you see that, the closer it is to a failure story.
So the developing a plan is their plans to turn communication into more of a technological,
impersonal.
Okay. Nonverbal.
Because that helps sucks the magic out of life.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Good.
You like that? You like that?
Pay me residual.
So there are plans for nonverbal, non-magical.
Not once, not twice, no. Not three times, but once. Did you see that video that
SNL guy did?
Fred Armisen.
Yeah.
Okay, so plans for nonverbal, non-magical interactions, right? That's
the forewarning for the objective story.
So right. So the more the plans come into play, you know that the consequence is looming. Yeah, great.
Can I just see the rest of the signposts for the impact carrots because they all just run in together?
1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
So okay. Anybody have any problem with that?
No.
we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
If you don't like it, you can change. Okay, so the impact character Rex understands that in order to get his sister magical, he has to find this word. Sorry, has to find this location that we eventually find out is his sister's name. He understands that word to be a place.
He misunderstands.
It's a word that is probably that he thinks is a place. So that leads on to the doing, which is climbing the mountain.
Okay, cool.
In order to find this place, which he believes is at the top of the mountain, in order that he can obtain whatever he thinks is at the top of the mountain, in order to make the magical, only to find out that it's actually a name, which is a gathering of the information at the end, which is too late.
Okay.
So at the beginning, he thinks it's.
So what was the obtaining one?
The obtaining is the doing was climbing the mountain, and at the top he believes he's obtaining the secret.
Okay, all right, and it's probably going to be in some object or place or
maybe
something.
It's a book. Maybe it's like the silent flute. It's a book or something, and.
Okay.
When he obtains it, he realizes that it's not actually a place or a thing, but it's a name, and he gets that too late. But in the beginning, he misunderstands and thinks it's actually a place.
Yeah, that sounds good. Excellent. This one's developing a lot more fully than I think we've actually ever done, especially in the signpost stuff. That's great.
Do we have signposts for the objective story yet?
We have none.
Okay. Well, we've dealt with memories, but do we deal with memories as
a requirement? Or
a as a requirement, not as a
requirement.
We haven't even named the objective story yet.
No, we haven't.
Ah, yeah. Okay. What do we have about this? About the magic and the magic words? What else?
It's essentially the stuff that it's involving has to do with
the
elder is trying to get rid of magic, and the history being of a magical sort with some sort of royalty, magical royalty. And we've got a whole bunch of different characters in here, including a guardian who is sort of is the retainer of all this magical information, which has become less and less relevant. And the inciting event is the proclamation forbidding magic. So we've got that's what we've got as a.
And so, yeah, which means that the resolving event needs to be some kind of decision as well.
Yeah.
Right. But it represents failure.
Ooh. Can we name it?
No, sorry.
Can we name it just something about the. Something about progress comes to Shangri-La, that kind of stuff.
Fine.
Yeah, or the elders of Shangri-La, that kind of
stuff. But is it really progress?
Yeah.
is that naming the through line?
Yeah. Just in order to, so we know when we start with the signposts, have a good understanding.
Okay, now. Problem and solution?
Well,
now you've already got several other ones that you want to go and set.
Well, okay. I just try to fit what we have on the board. you know, the overall, okay, the implication is that your antagonist mainly represents
the
overall story problem.
Oh, okay. And the problem is cause?
It's hunch.
A hunch, okay.
Right, so Frizzell, the wizard.
The antagonist.
Is creating some kind of hunch. Okay, he... Or and the
and by hunch, I've got, and if you look at the short definition, it's the an understanding based on insufficient circumstantial evidence.
And theory, I may want to go with theory, which will bring the witch doctor.
An unbroken chain of relationships leading from a premise to a conclusion.
All right. Being okay, the protagonist is pursuing the solution, which. Fails, but I'm just going to. So I'm still trying to connect. If we got this wizard Frizzell, he has created this. He's actually the one response, even though he's magical himself. He implied by the name wizard. He is the one who's actually incited this wave of. Anti-magical sentiment. He himself has provoked this this hunch of that society is better off with magic without magic because he's got some nefarious scheme.
He wants magic behind the scenes.
Yeah. So I think what he's done is created this hunch among the council or the company of elders. This unsubstantiated intuition, right? That he has created this hunch among the governmental entity that magic must be outlawed in order to eliminate the threat of wizards. I'm getting convoluted, but.
I think that makes perfect sense.
Let me go back.
He's eliminating competition.
That's good. Thank you. The objective story problem is a hunch, is creating the hunch that magic is must be eliminated for the good of society.
Okay.
He can be magical.
Which basically eliminates the royalty structure of that society, and which will eliminate his competition.
Exactly.
So magic is mad. The hunch is that magic is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
bad for your health.
Yeah.
He has created this hunch. He has created this mindset that magic is bad.
Okay.
It
so
keeps
then,
you from keeps you from progress.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's based on what is it? It's based on insufficient circumstantial evidence.
He just makes
whereas doctors, if I may go ahead and go with the solution, Dr. Zulu, right? The witch Dr. Zulu
wants to go up the hill.
Well, he's obviously, I mean, really Rex and Reynard are the protagonists, but he is the one who's very in terms of a mindset is trying to counter this by basically having Rex. Go practice and create the theory. Which hang on, what's the definition of theory? The chain of relationships leading from a premise to conclusion that will prove to the people that magic exists, magic can work, magic can be good for properly channeled is good for the people. So Zulu is representing it is trying to create the theory amongst the people. That magic is still workable, is still good for us.
Right,
it's still workable, but he fails.
But you have to go up the mountain to get it.
Right. So he's, in other words, he's creating this chain of relations.
He's getting them to go up the mountain.
Using Rex and Reyna, who have that magical, or at least have that position. He's trying to create a kind of a belief system, or create some proof.
Yeah, yeah.
To the people, so he is the one who is pursuing this goal and having Rex and Reyna execute it for him, or mainly Rex.
Okay. Well, and I think what, you know, sort of in line with that is if you've got the witch doctor is the protagonist who's really, again, trying to promote being right. magical, mm-hmm. the idea is that magic belongs to everybody. Yes. And that the antagonist is like, if I get rid of it out of here, magic exists, but it's in a finite quantity, and if it's not in them, then it's all mine.
Mm-hmm. So they're both using these twins.
Oh, absolutely.
To prove
yeah.
their
that
point.
That sounds great, yeah. Mm-hmm. That works. Okay.
Wow.
I think I worked
here. Okay, Sally?
So that was my statement. They're both the protagonist and antagonist are using the main and impact characters as their test. I mean, they're playing out their agenda through these two characters.
Okay, so you're so here we're talking about the symptom, and now let's be specific though. This is really good. The symptom of test. So what tests? Maybe there have to be performing tests on the twins. Or tests, what tests would be performed, and they think, you know, here's what the problem is, because again, the symptom is what appears to be the problem. So the people are going to think this is the, you know, so if they can't perform, or they, what kind of testing do you think is in...
Via the twins?
Yeah, probably, think of the company of elders, since they seem to be running the show. Uh-huh. So do they put forth a number of tests that the
Yes, there have to be some alchemy they have to perform. They have to come up with a solution to riddles. They have to, you know, they have to solve. Oh,
let me just throw one little thing in. Has anybody seen we've seen Desk Set?
Desk
Remember
Set?
Desk Set with...
I never saw it.
Oh, sure. It was an oldie, right?
Yeah, with Katharine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy.
I didn't see it.
Well, you've got computers versus... people skills. Well, what if the testing is they're testing the twins and their magic against computers?
Yeah,
that could work.
Against the modern world. And they're, okay, let's try this. And they test, and it's like, and, oh, okay, well, they won that one. Let's try this test. And, of course, you know, everybody thinks that's, you know, it's causing all this trouble in the realm because they really, this is the king and queen, or they, you know, the ones that are going to be the Dauphin. You know, going to become that. We shouldn't be testing them. You know, we have to trust them.
Or they could give they could give them a problem to solve and see, do they solve it quicker using magic or quicker using computers?
Right.
Which way do they, can they and will they and do they come up with the solution the quickest?
Right. And then you've got, you know, people are saying, no, what we really need to do is we need to trust in the old ways, and the other ones are saying, no, we really need to trust in the new ways, and you see, you know, right. So...
And then we have the reason versus the magic. Also.
Right, so it ends up that magic loses.
So what about this dear Dr. Max Friedman, the emotional character?
Well, he's probably going to be in there pleading for, can't anybody just get along?
Well, I'm thinking that he's got a maybe... he's got to maybe know what the witch doctor and the wizard are up to, and he's very emotional that in fact the antagonist might win.
Well, he's going to be about feeling. I mean, yeah. You know, he's going to say,
control.
You know, you just got to you're too, you know, depending on who he's giving advice to, he's going to be talking about, you know, get in touch with yourself, and he's going to be the one running around screaming, you know, no, it's all yeah. falling apart. You know, it's terrible.
But nobody listens to him.
Maybe not. You know,
and is this feeling strong for magic or feeling strong for technology?
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know.
For everything, this is his emotion.
Right.
Well, I think he doesn't. I think he's emotional because he knows the truth and no one listens.
Okay.
That's
Bob,
what I want to contribute.
No, I think you did the symptom.
Oh. I passed. I'm going to pass.
You want to do something with Dr. Friedman?
What?
You want to do something like that with Dr. Friedman?
I'm thinking, I don't have it down.
Okay.
I mean, catalyst of worry, for example. you know, Dr. Friedman as the worrier.
Yeah.
Becomes some kind of catalyst and somehow moves the plot forward.
How about he carries everything to extremes and worries out a scenario and
he represents the citizenry of Shangri-La. He represents the citizenry, and he goes before the Council of Elders and pleads and.
So Dr. Friedman's concerns rile things up. Yeah, he's worried.
He tends to move the Council of Elders and other forces at work to move one direction or another.
Okay. Gunther?
I'm going to pass.
All right. So now Jim doesn't want to... I can never keep it straight.
No.
This is giving me a hard time.
Just want another couple minutes to figure out.
Okay. Do you want us to come back to you?
No. Okay. So I don't want somebody to take it.
Which one are you considering?
Her unique ability of desire.
The
main
character?
Different, yeah.
Main character, unique ability of K?
If it's her unique ability that could bring about the objective story to end it in success, maybe... either her desire to be famous or to be loved would be enough to keep her on that path towards becoming queen.
Okay. Sure. Or think of the... desire as motivation towards something better. Well, I think that would be good, especially if what it would eventually do, theoretically, is having... the people calling her name.
Okay.
Which, of course, since it's a name of... it's a word of power, would effectively...
I was just trying
turn things around and save it, but it doesn't happen because she's undermined by...
Yeah, I was trying to work in the whole...
her lack of skills.
Her old centerfold Playboy thing to give her a reason to want to do that. You know, that she wants to be desired. Is that, you know... like what you said, like if enough people do, then they'll start saying her name all over the place, and then magic will come to Shangri-La.
Well, sure. She didn't have to be. She doesn't have to be aware of this.
Right. No.
This
like her
ability.
Agenda is just to be loved.
Fine. So,
which would bring about people saying her name, I guess.
She
becomes
an internet celebrity.
Yeah.
Something. To the computer.
But so do you want to be loved or become a celebrity or
be
adored?
No, I want to be loved. Like, that's all she cares about. That's her... well, I guess if it's her unique ability. She's the only one uniquely in the position to be loved.
I think she wants people to think she's beautiful.
No. The unique ability is that if enough people who adore her, because you might want to say that you need... you can say the word, but you have to actually feel the word.
Okay.
If you... enough people adore her... say her name loudly, it will bring about magic or restore magic or something like that. So that the unique ability is that people, you know, she's uniquely in a position to be able to cause the story to end in success if people adore her and cry out her name in love or something like that. Does that sound okay?
Well, yeah, well, that would lead to a judgment of good, at least, for her on a personal angle, right?
Well, sure, it doesn't... it gets undermined by the fact that she actually has no magic, magical
she's
skills.
Undermined, because, yeah.
Not that she doesn't have magic, but she doesn't have any magical skills, which,
right.
Of course, is different. You know, you might be inherently magical, but have no way to use
no
it.
No control.
Yeah.
So...
or, I have an idea.
Yes?
Maybe we could set up some situation so when... let's say it has to be 144 people say her name at once in order for it to kick in.
That would be the limit.
And then when 144 people do actually say her name, it's at the wrong time, and it's like points out something, and maybe she falls through a hole or, you know, something happens to her because they give away her location or, you know, maybe something... some test or some thing.
But the thing is, judgment is good.
So how about if she is adored by enough people and who cry her name aloud, magic will be restored.
But
she'll die because she falls in a pit.
That's a separate thing. Because that wouldn't be part of her unique ability.
We're talking about
her unique ability. Does that work okay for what you were talking about?
Yeah, it's not as cool as some of the other ideas, but...
Okay,
it works, though.
No.
It's fine.
I don't know, which ones did you want? It doesn't make a difference to me.
No, that's actually what I was going for, but...
It's not very
well
kind
of slowed
well
everything
story.
Down. Everything was gelling, that kind of...
Sorry.
Slowed it down, so we can pick it back up.
Right, I've got one. Signpost one, the overall story, memories.
Okay.
The story begins when everyone starts to forget things, beginning with their names.
Ooh.
So they bring in technology because they think that will help them remember things as they forget them, as they try to deal with the problem.
See, that's a cool idea.
So we're on
track. Thank you.
So as the story progresses, they're forgetting stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Right.
So they become more dependent upon
on the technology.
Technology progress.
But it's something they have to use, and they're starting to rely and depend on it because it's their memories and the technology, not in their heads.
Right.
Which ties in with the whole having to go up the mountain to find the name,
and having the benchmark with what's her name being the one, and she doesn't forget, but becomes less relevant and. Because people who might be able to use it have not been now are no longer being able to utilize her memories, and she becomes sort of moot.
Okay, if that is the first
signpost,
the second one, innermost desires, is they start falling in love with the computers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yes.
Okay.
And everyone wants one.
Exactly.
Innermost desire.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice one.
Okay.
No, but they're really falling in love.
Right,
like,
right.
Oh, family thing.
Where was that? Did you put...
Signpost 2.
Signpost 2.
Oh, signpost 2.
Innermost desires.
Okay.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Innermost
desires. All right. I'm going to try to deal with the outcome of failure. I try to tie in decision driver and possibly impulsive responses as a signpost for as part of it. But did we establish something about where the final driver element, right, would have to be the idea, the protagonist's goal is to overturn this edict forbidding magic.
Right.
Okay. How do you do that? You either get them to make a new decision or you get enough people to do the incantation of a name.
Which will maybe disband the Company of Elders and break the edict or...
And defeat Frizzell, basically.
Well, right. It might turn all the computers off.
But basically, okay, Zulu is our protagonist in the mind through line. Okay, so obviously there is this wave of anti-magic sentiment that he is trying, while he sent Rex and Reyna off to do their, conceptualize their magical plan or whatever word we used. Meanwhile, the objective story is trying to convince people, and he gets to once it is learned somewhere in the story that Reyna is or that word is the magical thing that a number of people say, you know, what do we say, 1,440 people,
whatever,
I don't know,
it's a magic
Or let's just say 144 people, okay, 12 squared,
a
right?
Gross of people,
exactly, and they get up to he gets up to 143 people to agree to it. Then the last person is the one who cops out, who decides, probably out of some fear, which would go toward impulsive responses, created by Frizzell, the 144th person decides not to chant the name.
and that's where the so
maybe that is Frizzell.
There's only 143 instead of
right. They need 144 and only 143 and right and only 143 do it because the last person decided to
ask for a Big Mac.
Yeah, exactly.
And the last person is.
Beck.
Dr. Friedman.
Because
he's the emotional one.
Yeah,
so out of impulsive response.
No. It's Raina.
It's Raina because
she's the last
she's a change
one.
Character. So she's the last one.
Oh,
her change of point of view. Decides.
So she won't say her own name.
Because
she doesn't want. She wants to kill all that pressure that's on her.
Or and maybe there is some noble some nobility there to say, you know what, who am I to stop? You know, society's perception of progress. I don't know. Maybe there's some, you know,
which
may or may not be right in the morality of the story. But she just sort of says, you know what, the tide is there. Who am I to overturn it? So it's like,
so Raina says no.
Raina says no to enchanting her own name as the 144th person.
Yeah. That's good.
There's an interesting movie coming out next year that I read the script for called Swing Vote.
Be careful, this is being recorded, so if it's something that shouldn't be...
Starring Kevin Costner.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah. Go for it.
That's the right one. Carry on.
The election. The two candidates, Kelsey Grammer is the Republican incumbent, and Dennis Hopper is the Democratic challenger.
Wait, are you going to tell everybody the end of the movie?
And
don't do
no,
that.
Well...
Don't do that. It's on a swing vote.
It all boils down to one man in New Mexico, the whole election, just through a fluke of circumstances. And of course, that's Kevin Costner playing a trailer trash single dad. But it's the same kind of premise. It all boils down to one person's decision. So
okay, well,
it should be an interesting Dramatica discussion in a couple of years.
Well, it could also be the impact character that doesn't say her name. That won't say her name.
It
could
be. Well, the point is, she's the change character.
She's the change.
Yeah.
That's
so,
true.
So she's
okay.
She's pursuing the whole.
Right.
We're trying to reverse this edict, this anti-magic.
And
edict.
It also being her being uniquely able.
Right.
And also puts her in that position of unique ability, even strengthens it.
Yeah.
But,
that she can't use.
But her critical flaw was that she doesn't have magical skills, which of course she.
But she's got the name.
Well, she has the name, but she doesn't necessarily believe. But she doesn't even want, even if that
she
does bring it back, I don't want to be there. Yeah, that's interesting. I think that's good. Any more?
Oh, is it back to me again?
I think so. Did
oh,
we
did
skip?
Oh,
no. Well, that was yours, wasn't it?
No, that was Sandy's.
Sandy's.
Yeah.
Sandy.
Oh,
that was
Sandy.
Failure.
Sorry.
That was
failure.
I'm
sorry.
Failure.
Thank
okay.
you.
So that's failure or the decision...
Well, it's the decision one which leads to failure.
Okay.
And what's failure then?
Well, the failure is that that's okay. Zulu and Rex were working together to try to, with Raina involved, were trying to create some kind of huge incantation, that would have brought us the evidence of magic to the people, clear, visceral evidence that magic is. Present and good and can help our lives, but that 144 person incantation needed to happen, and so by one person's decision, it didn't happen, and so society stayed on the anti-magic pro-technology course at the end of the story.
Okay.
Well, I think you need to have an element in there of should they have actually pulled it off, it would have done something to the computers.
Well, they can certainly build that in, and some of the there would be.
And since they didn't, the computers win. Technology wins.
In a sense, you have to keep that in the mind, in the fixed attitude realm.
Right.
You have to make sure it has to do with attitudes and not.
Oh, and not thought.
Physical. Well, not. It's not a physical outcome. It's a mental outcome.
Oh, okay.
That's the.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which brings me to no point. Let's see.
now who's going to
write?
We got
plenty of no points.
Now who's
going
to write this story?
You are.
We are.
anybody who wishes to. It's a public one, so it's.
Maybe one of our fine podcast listeners will get us all a copy.
But not during the writer's strike. No.
Well, perfect time.
No, it's a perfect time. That's right. You're doing it. It's a spec. So you can do it on spec. That's no problem.
All right. Well, the cost. Let's talk about the cost.
Okay. And what is the cost?
Doing.
Okay.
It's the price you pay, right?
Yep.
What you have to give up in order to succeed. Or to get the goal.
No, it's just the negatives that as you're on the trip to the goal, these are the, you got perks and then you got
costs.
Negatives, yeah. And the negatives are the costs.
Okay.
So while on the road to trying to achieve this return of magic, the strength of magic and such, these negative things are going to happen and they have to do with activities that are doing.
Oh.
So what are the bad things or the yucky things that people have to do?
The information is that
well, it's doing.
That she is more interested in being loved than having power.
Well, but you got to look. This is going to be the overall story. So this is going to involve all the characters, not necessarily equally, but you want to think about the characters not by their names, but by their roles. So you've got the...
So the more they do, the worse it gets is kind of the idea here?
No. There's not that connection. It's just sort of like, okay, for instance, if the goal is to... if your goal might be to be well thought of, all right, that's your goal. You want the world to think really good things about us. Well, okay, what kind of crappy things do you have to do? Or that happened, not to make it happen. That just what happened. What do things do you do while you're making it happen? Not to make it happen. To make it happen would be either a prerequisite or requirement, which means it's a necessity. Cost isn't a necessity. It's just the crap that happens along the way.
But think about it. Doing we're talking about the overall story. We're talking about the community as a whole. Everyone's using more computers. Everyone's playing more video games. All this, again, being the protagonist side of the story, Gold, is pro-magic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the doing, you know, as things are going along, I mean, people are doing more and more computer work or playing more and more on computers and the keyboards.
Let's say, as a cost, they're not doing things they like to do.
They're not talking in person, like he said.
Right.
They're communicating by email instead of having, you know...
Right. They're not exercising, or they're not... Yeah, just, you know, think...
Okay.
The negative thing they have to do.
So all of the things that are...
Not that they have to do. If you make it a have-to-do, then it becomes a requirement or a prerequisite. It's just the negative things that they do. You know, sort of like, you know, you eat too much because you're sitting in the sitting and you're not exercising, so you gain weight.
So it's just a description of life today, basically.
Yeah, communicating by email, but not telepathy. Yeah, because they don't need to anymore.
Right.
So it'd be
use the skill
or screening screening phone calls or screening emails
and using push buttons to cook your
spam
fake meal instead of live food. Right.
Pardon?
Use the computer to run your kitchen and cook your food.
Or eating processed food.
That's
what
I mean.
Yeah.
You know, everything is kind of like sterile and packaged and prefab. And I mean, that's what I think of with too much technology.
Okay, so what are the things that just sort of... It's the negatives that come along with.
Okay.
You know, with it, not...
So then as an author, you just show that doing those things is a negative.
Yeah, right. Or that's what I say. It could also be not doing. Let's say we always used to do these things. Now we don't do it anymore. That would be a cost.
It's like side effects.
Yeah. Yeah, it's essentially, it's a negative side effect.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
well,
exactly.
And we also could show with our characters, the main and impact characters.
Don't use them.
What?
Don't use them except...
They're in the overall
story. Wait, no. Right. Not as main an impact, they're in there as the king and queen to be. So don't think of first names, because then you slip into their role and see things from their perspective. So you think of, you know, the... doctor, the elders, the maid, the second in line for rule, the first in line for rule, the impish character, the wizard, the witch doctor. Think of those characters in those roles, not by personalizing them.
Well, but okay. But when they start out, their role is twins. It's hooked up. And so as they unhook, they're going to have some costs.
But we're not talking about them. Them as twins is in the relationship through line. Context is really, really, really important, because if you look at things from a different place, they won't look the same. You can't say a cost looking at it in terms of the relationship is going to look the same way as it looks in terms of the big picture. It won't, because from one it might seem to be a benefit, and the other one might seem to be a cost. So you should really be careful about shifting your perspective. So that's why I say, don't look at it in terms of them. Because if you look in terms of them, it's easy to slip into the wrong perspective.
So you're saying in terms of just the whole story.
In terms of progress comes through to Shangri-La. What are some of the costs that come along with it?
Dehumanization and more intellectual.
Right, but it's got to be doing. So what doing or not doing is a negative side effect?
Not using magic.
Okay.
Forgetting the skills of magic.
Doing technology.
Ignoring hunches.
Yeah, you've got to be doing. Yeah, you got to be careful about being ignoring. That's internal. Mm-hmm. It's a physical thing. Remember, it's an activity.
Okay.
No, actually,
they're loving their computers. Therefore, they are not loving each other. Therefore, they have no next generation. They're not procreating.
Oh,
right.
Yeah,
they're not.
Okay.
Well,
no procreation. Okay, that would definitely be
climbing a mountain.
I mean, the other thing is that maybe one thing they didn't even think about is that, in order to use magic, you actually have to do things, and you get exercise, and that. So if you're not doing that, then you're not doing other things because you're tired, or you can't do them because now you've lost those skills. Those are the.
How about they all get fat?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
an obtaining.
Yeah. No. But
so turn it into.
It's a cost.
Yes, it is, but it's not a cost of doing. It's a cost of obtaining.
It's a cost of not exercising.
Yeah.
It's a cost.
That's correct.
It's a cost of sitting at your computer all day long.
No, it's the cost of doing, of not exercising. That's correct. Saying it as loose as gaining weight, that's of obtaining. It's a very small distinction, but it's very important, because when you're going to then expand this into your story, if you put in there gaining weight or getting fat, you're going to talk about how much weight they put on, and that's going to be the wrong illustration. However, if you say, eating too much, overeating, or, not exercising, well, then when you go to expand that in your story, you'll be talking about that activity.
About the doing.
Right. And that's why I say it really makes a big difference.
What you
want to
do cinematically is you have shots where you see sort of the world as it exists early in the story, where people are doing certain things, and then you have comparison shots later, as the story progresses, where they're doing different things.
Mm-hmm. Right, it's sort of like they're sitting with the remote control turning on the TV, as opposed to outdoors, telling magical stories and creating, images for their children. It's like, okay, yeah, they've kind of lost that skill. And someone goes to try to do it, and it's like, gosh, I can't remember, Oh, this is too much trouble. Watch this video.
Marionette shows for the children out in the park, and they're not doing that anymore. Instead, the kids are just playing video games.
They used to create monsters for the kids to watch, and now they're watching monsters on the screen.
Right. Right. Those would all be great doing examples.
I get it.
And they're just side effects. Is that they're not.
This is what happens after you're doing it.
As a result of it, right? Right.
So when you have
after you do. Then you obtain, right? If you do not eat, do not exercise, you obtain a flabby belly,
Right, but what you're actually showing are the differences in doing, the sacrifices in terms of doing, and...
Doing becomes obtaining, right?
Well, by implication, but in the story, it's just... What we're seeing and the evidence that things are kind of going negative is that the scenes of doing are showing more negative doings.
Right.
And I think, what is your name again?
Mike.
He had a really good point. You could visually show this as doing, as in the beginning, they were able to magically create things, actually.
Yeah, physicalize them.
Visible things.
Create a show, but magically.
Yeah, and now they can't. Now all they can do is punch a button and sit their kid down and, you know, watch this. I mean,
right.
So they're not able to generate anything.
Right, they cannot practice magic. You know, that's a cost. You know, it's like you start doing all this stuff. Well, you're going to lose those skills. You know, that you have to practice.
Actually, you know, where you've got the cost of doing, literally, it makes the most sense. They just stop doing stuff.
Right.
This will be a real interesting social commentary.
Well, I don't know if you can get Disney to make this movie.
Well, the whole thing is, you know, the commentary, the subtext is, you know, we're losing the magic, you know, but we're becoming so technologically savvy, and, you know, movies are all CGI now instead of, you know, hand drawn. You know, that it's a commentary on.
You're a proponent of that right here.
We're losing the magic in our lives.
Okay. Dr. Jim? Nope.
And Bella.
So where's the good?
Gunther? Nope.
Oh, okay. That would be dividends.
Oh, you've been spending so much time entertained.
I know. Okay, I was going to try and go back to their relationship.
Okay.
Between brother and sister, conjoined twins.
Since we have very little there, we have signpost 1, 3, and the overall story through line.
They split up.
Domain.
Yeah,
that's it.
Has to live up to. Okay, well, what I wanted to do originally with the problem of Hunch was that she had the hunch that he was out to make her look like a fool. But then that's more of a symptom, not the actual underlying thing. Like, the symptom would be, I believe you're determined to make me look like an idiot. Right?
Oh,
like
you mean as in
as a symptom of determination?
Yes.
Like that's
sure. Yeah, that sounds right.
And then the underlying problem that's really there.
Okay, hold on one sec. So okay. The symptom is
determination.
Raina
thinks her brother is determined to make her look like a fool.
Thanks. Rex
by climbing this mountain
is determined to make her look like a fool. Okay. And the problem you said?
Sorry, what thriller are we in?
This
is the subjective story. I'm totally taking it in a totally different direction.
So oh, Hunch.
Switch
oh, okay, okay. So the problem of Hunch in the relationship they're aligned.
Because the two of them are conjoined, maybe I'm centering on her, that the hunch that people love him more than they love her. Does that work? Is their relationship like I'm thinking of a brother and sister.
I'm trying to think why. Okay, is the problem there the love or the hunch?
Well, they're competent.
But see, that's why. But she's kind of aware of it. I'm trying to make it so it's not there.
Right, and it's about their relationship.
Yeah.
What if it was more like there's a hunch that maybe we'd be better off apart? That's causing friction between them. You know, maybe she thinks that they're better together and he thinks they're better apart, but that, and maybe he doesn't even think that, but maybe there's just this, you know, maybe we might be better off separate. No? Yes? No? That's not
going to work. Then how does that work with the symptom, though? I don't know if that flows nicely into.
Well, I mean, one. If she thinks that they're better, you know, that they might be better separate, then maybe he wants to keep them together, and that's one of the reasons she thinks that he's determined to make her look like a fool. She's also there thinking, you know, I don't have any magic. I don't have any magical skills, and he's like all into this magic stuff, and he's really great, and you know, here I am. I'm really pretty, and popular, and he's very smart and
ugly.
You know, but he's my brother, but so I should love him, but I just don't think he really wants to be with me, you know. He should might be feeling inferior.
Well, if he has to carry her around on his back, then that would make sense. I mean, you know, if he's, if she's kind of like a real impediment to him to getting up the mountain.
Well, that's, yeah, I think that she might be feeling that, and of course he might feel that, you know, I can't do anything without you, perhaps, you know, I'm not sure.
And what I'd like to do is at the end, to kind of offset the failures, to make it so that they come together, so that the solution actually comes into place, the theory, and go for it.
No, that's not my place.
So the hunch is that, what were you saying?
Well, that maybe they're
Better
maybe
apart.
They're better off apart.
So then the theory...
Well, then
theory
you
that two...
he makes her look
two are better than one.
Actually, it probably would be something more like it doesn't matter if we're apart, physically apart or physically together, as long as we're together.
And that would be a theory.
Yeah, because here's, you know, you'd have to say it's kind of like the 1 + 1 equals, you know,
three. That's
three, right? Right. Okay. It doesn't matter if we're, you know, physically together, because remember it's an overall story of conjoined twins. Well, that part of it, the physical part, gets
broken,
except there's got to be something that's still tied between the two of them. You need to, because it cannot be just, there's got to be something else that's tying them, that situationally doesn't have to be that, you know, they think, oh, we separate and we're separate, but they really aren't. Maybe they share the same mind or share the same heart or whatever it is that they share. Remember, it's a magical world, so you can make whatever rule it is. But they may be physically separated, but they're still stuck.
Okay.
You know, like they can't go away from each other. If they start to physically separate, maybe they'll
spring back.
Well, no, or they start to, you know, hyperventilate or something that literally keeps them together. They don't have to, you know, they're not joined any longer, but they might as well be because they can't travel apart.
Until
maybe he comes up with a theory. I've got this theory about how this thing, how it works, and it has nothing to do with us being physically together. It has to do with us committing ourselves to one another as brother and sister, and once we do that, then we don't need to be, it doesn't matter where we are, we will always be together. That kind of crap.
Right.
You know. I mean,
when they have a major problem sexually, motivation of being different sexes and being together, wouldn't that be a tremendous obstacle?
It could be. It doesn't have to be.
How do some twins handle it now?
Most likely it would be, though, I would think.
Well, you could make it to be that, or you could not. It doesn't seem to be, doesn't seem to be the issue that we've set up here. But it could be.
Yeah.
No. The hunch is that... because they were conjoined twins, like, oh, no, never mind. That's not going to work. Go ahead. I was going to say that he took something away from her being a twin, but they had to be together in order to be king and queen.
Well, just the idea that, you know, the fact that they got this idea that we're better off apart and that's really not the case, that it really is, it doesn't matter what we are physically, that we have, it's better off that we... You know, that we are born, we are always be together, we are related, and it doesn't matter how far apart we are always connected because, you know, we share the same blood or something. And then that sort of, now they can go and do their own things and still, and their relationship is no longer sort of a one feeling like maybe they're a parasite of the other, you know. And it's sort of getting really sort of heavy.
I'll take my turn, but I want to deal with the change element.
Okay, Mike, did you...
It's okay, I'll go.
Do it. I'm so interested.
you wanted to go first? Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I'm thinking through... she's a change character, which means that she, in some way, becomes more like her brother, okay, the steadfast character.
She's a beer because she's had this position. I need to sort of be the magic and not do the magic. Okay, that's been her position. But we get down to the climax, and it's up to her really, whatever this incantation is. And she comes back. She's separated from her brother at this point. Okay, so he's still off doing his stuff. He's still trying to practice magic. She's coming back, and she to be the figurehead. And Zulu's arranged these people to do this incantation. That they can, you know, and once they've accomplished that, she becomes, you know, basically the queen of at least the element of society that still believes in the magic, or at least will entertain the notion of magic. But then she something causes her to say, "Wait a minute, no, I can't do this." And it's part of it may be, who am I to stand in the way of progress if that's the tie? But the other thing is, wait a minute, I realize that if we're really going to defeat Frizzell, my brother was right. We've got to practice. I have got to develop those skills. So the initial goal of the story is a failure. Yes, because she decided, I am not going to be the figurehead. I am going to learn how to actually perform magic the way my brother is. I'm going to join him, and together we will be an effective team. But I've got to go off to the mountain and learn this
great
stuff,
yeah,
and then set up the sequel. And because she comes to the realization that Frizzell is out there, and he's a physical. He's manipulating, but he's trying to basically grab all the magic for himself, right?
Right.
Yeah. And she's kind of get to the point where she's realizing, okay, the psychology stuff really isn't working. Okay, the tide's turning. Fine, we're going to go off and do our Jedi thing,
right?
You know? And because Frizzell's doing his Darth Vader thing, so we've got to fight him. Let society do what they're going to do. Just let the town do their thing, and it'll be fine. We're going to sort of.
I'm not
going to
support the status quo, so I won't say my name, and that's final.
But
I am going to go join my brother and learn the trade
and learn the trade. So we
family trade.
So we can. So when the time comes, when time loops back around, we will be ready to defeat Frizzell. So that's our change.
Very good.
Yeah. So all
right.
Yeah,
I like that.
That's awesome.
Okay, I think my work here is done. All right.
Yeah, well, did you want to throw one? That's a good place actually to end it.
Okay, that's brilliant.
I think we've got done a great job, guys and gals. But I think this is a very interesting and very thorough story. There's a lot here. I hope somebody goes off and writes it or something like it. If not, certainly. It gives you an idea of what it's like to do it as a group, which is a lot different than doing it yourself, because you have to, in some ways, compromise. In other ways, you get inspired by what somebody else is coming up with that you weren't thinking about. You know, so I think there's some real, real fun stuff about it. And like always, you know, we start off with something that sounds kind of silly, or you know, not much more than Mad Libs, and then you know, boom, it starts developing into a bona fide story.
This podcast was brought to you by Wright Brothers, creators of software for writers since 1982. Visit us at www.screenplay.com and www.dramatica.com.